Welcome to Couch Chats with Corey and Courtney, a podcast about getting local Kansas City artists on the couch to chat. Hello, 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 and welcome to Couch Chats with Corey and Courtney.
Hello.
I'm Corey.
I'm Courtney.
And today on the show we have one of our really good friends and super special friend, Mr. Julian Riviere. Hello.
Hello. How is everyone out there?
We are doing so good. We are recording here on a kind of cold Tuesday.
Very cold Tuesday.
Which is weird because yesterday was, you know, typical Missouri weather. It was 60 and sunny and beautiful. And today it was sleet warnings and maybe don't go into work. So, like, it ended up being fine, but...
Yeah, I was in a short sleeve shirt whenever the Kansas City Chiefs won the Super Bowl. That was a pretty good day.
Oh my gosh, it was a good day. I personally consider myself a jinx for the Chiefs. There has been, I have anecdotal evidence where it's like every time I actively pay attention to a game, and I know people if I pay active attention to a game, they will do really poorly. And that was what was happening. Like, I was just sitting there on Super Bowl Sunday with my chili dog, trying not to get a second chili dog, and I was watching the game, and we were doing really bad. Yes. So they were like, you need to go to the basement, and which is fine. And I was,
Julian, if you could just... go to yourself.
Yeah,
that would be great.
Full disclosure. So we were at the brother and sister-in-law, Adam and I were at the brother and sister-in-law. They were having a superb owl party. And it was also like half of a craft day. So like I had stuff that I was working on in the basement. And then I would hear occasional cheers from upstairs. And so I was like, see, it works. Like, let me just go do my thing. And I will be a supportive fan from where I can be.
From afar. I did the same thing. I was like, we're doing really badly. I don't really engage. I have a lot of fundamental issues with the NFL in general. Plus a lot of, you know, racism out of the particular our team. So
that
I was like, I'm going to support my city.
I
mean the tomahawk chop. I mean the painted faces. I mean the headdresses. And then more specifically this season, I also am referencing the headbands with Mahomes' hair, which is very, very disturbing to me.
How do we feel about if you naturally have that hair and you put it a headband around and it sort of looks like
I think that's
it,
fine.
That's your hair.
Yeah,
that is your hair.
If that's your hair, go for it.
I'm just checking in on
on our barometer of where we're at.
I'm like, can I just look that way or is it just the particular purchase?
And here's the thing, too. I think that Patrick Mahomes is an amazing human being who does incredible things. I don't know anybody else who would be like, bitches, I just won the Super Bowl. I'm going to take a bunch of Make-A-Wish kids to Disney World. Like, you're just fantastic. I could barely get my kids to school. But on that same accord, I want for the country to acknowledge that if Patrick Mahomes was not in the place that he is in, he could be fired for that hair. He could be not allowed to graduate for that hair. He could be, and so while you should emulate him and his wonderful energy, you should probably think before putting on that headband.
Absolutely.
It's my personal preference. So I have a lot of issues, but I love my city.
Go Chiefs.
Right.
Yes, Chiefs. I think you can be a conscious fan of something, but also acknowledge that there is a problem with it. Like, being a blind follower is a little more problematic than being like, hey, look, congratulations, but also we have work to do. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that, personally.
Yeah, I mean, as someone who, Courtney and I were talking about this earlier, my husband and I were in Power and Light District.
Oh, wow. I saw the Facebook. I was talking.
After every time that someone started doing the tomahawk chop, it was actually amazing how it just kind of fizzled out. Like, I don't think anyone wanted those cameras to turn on. And your face be the first person doing a tomahawk chop. But I said that it was what the craziest part of that is the mob mentality of wanting to.
Yeah.
Everyone around you is sort of doing that or doing the chant or whatever, and you are like, how do I express myself? I don't do this way.
Can't I just be like, yes, queen, go Chiefs. Like, you know, that's Chiefs. And then just be that, also not do the tomahawk chop. There was actually, I was in a show. For those of you who don't know, I also go by the alias Luna Flair. She's a drag queen, and she sometimes likes to just, like, slap makeup on her face and try to be fabulous. But I was in a show on Saturday, and... Dick Van Dyke, who is a fabulous drag king, was hosting. And he threw out the idea that the Kansas City Chiefs just changed their name to, like, keep it the Chiefs, but it's, like, Kansas City Fire Chiefs. So then we can still keep the red and yellow.
And good outfits.
Good outfits. And then we could also have a hunky fireman calendar, every year. That's a whole separate conversation about the objectification of men. But, you know,
Travis
there's...
Kelce specifically.
Oh, my gosh. You know, I... When we were at the Superb Owl party, it was just like, you know, a couch full of homosexuals just being like, yes, daddy, every time like a hot football player like came across. And so I'm sure like
I felt the
actual
way about Shakira though too.
Oh, absolutely. I was like, give me all of it. Uh-huh. I love that, like, for the Super Bowl, it was just like they decided to have a drag show in the middle.
Yeah.
And just like shake it in fabulous outfits, multiple costume changes,
fabulous.
All the backup dancers.
I want to learn it privately in my house because I
absolutely.
Know I can never actually do it.
No, you could.
But
you have a theater.
I
like,
know.
You can.
As I read the
I
thing,
work
I read
out
that thing last night that was like, Shakira has more control of her ass than I have over my whole life.
I'm just
like, come on. And those women are 43 and 50.
43 and 50 years old.
They make the Golden Girls look old.
Oh my gosh, there's that meme of Blanche Devereaux and J-Lo.
What
like,
50 looks like the first time we won the Super Bowl
right.
and what it looks like now. Mm-hmm.
And I just give it to, like, J-Lo was fully doing her pole dancing sport best, mm-hmm. and I was just screaming at
right.
the TV.
Core strength on that woman.
I was just like the control. Like when she did that thing where she like her legs are wrapped around it and she's just like hanging there like Jesus.
Right.
And I'm like, this is church. This is what
Speaking
I want.
Speaking of Jesus, you know, that meme that said
we're just talking about memes for an hour.
No, yeah. The meme that just said, you know, don't forget, ladies, that Janet Jackson died on the cross.
She
so
did.
You could wear those outfits at that interview.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean her entire career died over a nip slip.
Over a nip slip.
Right.
But then we have this full incredible dance show where like body parts are out. I am doing a nude illusion with like mirrors on my body, and I'm like just being the worst, like kind of like snapping and just like, eh! Like you know, just looking
so
fancy. And like, the hair, the boobs, it was great.
It was
so
fantastic.
Like every good musical theater queen, you start at the very beginning with you, Julian.
It's a very good place to start.
Thank you. So how the hell did you get to the couch today?
Well, we know each other through musical theater, Corey and I, and I have done some musicals with the Barn Players, which is currently their home is here mm-hmm. at the Arts Asylum. And that's how we met.
It was our first one, Millie, right?
Our first one was Thoroughly Modern Millie. Yeah. I don't remember what year that was, but I know.
2015, September.
Thank you.
Gosh.
And
only because I went to Paris and I didn't see opening night and I turned 30. Mm-hmm. So I know all
You're
that
like, that's
day.
It.
I know that day.
Mm-hmm. And then, no, Thoroughly Modern Millie was our first one. And that was an incredible, incredible show. It was so funny because it's such a big show to begin mm-hmm. with. And then
and a show that should not be done anymore, by the way.
Well, I mean,
probably shouldn't.
Props to, because director was Kip,
mm-hmm.
and Kip Simmons, and like props to him because he was, Eric and he were very adamant about finding actors of Asian descent for the roles that we played.
We got close.
And we did. Well, Corey, he's like a quarter. Okay. Sometimes you have to fight them for the representation.
But we had, you had a replacement one night, right?
I did have a replacement.
Tommy?
Yes! Oh my god, yes, no, and he went on and he was fantastic, and I was like, oh my god. Yeah, I was like, you know all of it, how do you know that? And we had never done it before, it was incredible. And so Millie, we went through that, and then did musical theater. I've been performing ever since my parents, like, figured out I could carry a tune. It's been like, hey, do this, do that, let's sing everywhere. So I've been singing.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Lenexa, Kansas. I was born in Glaston, Missouri, so it's like both sides of the state line.
Mm-hmm.
And then we moved to Lenexa, and then I grew up there. I went to school at Holy Trinity, which is in Lenexa, and then I went to high school in Rockhurst, and then like there was all that performing. So I did like performing arts.
Is that the Rose Theater?
Yes, mm-hmm. at the Rose Theater mm-hmm. in Rockhurst. Go Hawklets. And and then that carried over into college. I didn't really perform a lot in college because I got my, I double majored in graphic design and illustration, which sounds like the same thing, but they're kind of different.
Okay.
And so like performing was on hold for a little bit, but then in college, I also started to dabble around with drag a little bit, just like dressing up. Cause like when I was that, I think it was my junior, senior year of college, that's when the first season of RuPaul's Drag Race came out with the full Vaseline lens mm-hmm. and like the, fully, there's, like, if you pan over, you see the ladder that's on the side of the
right.
set,
yeah.
and
mm-hmm.
it was glorious, and I was like, what is
this?
I
almost miss those days.
Oh, well, like,
it's so produced.
Oh, it's so produced, but, like, I mean, like, I think you get real moments of humanity, and I just love watching just artists, like, being able to, like, show themselves on, like, a mm-hmm. national platform. But that first season is legendary to me because it was, like, you couldn't see anything because everything was blurry, and also it was all, like, 720p.
Right.
Or, yeah, and, like... Mm-hmm. And, like, that's the best
quality. My camera has a better quality.
Now. Oh, yeah, now. Like, on your... Yeah. You can shoot it on your iPhone now, and it's like, there we go. And so, like, I started to dabble in drag. And then I'm also a cosplayer in my life, and that's when cosplay sort of started happening, too, because the drag was fueled by this desire to, like... At the same time, discovering, like, oh, wait, cosplay's a thing where you can dress up, like, your favorite characters mm-hmm. from favorite properties.
I thought that cosplay came first in your work.
Kind of.
So that is where... Because whenever I met you back in 15 or whatever, you were really starting to, like, show, look, I made this dress.
Yes, look at this.
Yeah. Oof. But you're, like, I feel like we all were sort of watching Luna be created...
like, in that in real time.
Yeah.
Well, because, like, I think it's... The timeline's a little fuzzy, because, like, cosplay and drag, like, sort of... are, like, this weird ball mm-hmm. that I have for me. So, like, I wanted to start looking into more drag techniques for makeup because I wanted to cosplay these female characters. Because it's weird. Like, I grew up with, like, Sailor Moon and Storm as my favorite superheroes. Mm-hmm. And so, like, those were the first that I was like, oh, well, I want to, like, cosplay's a thing. I want to cosplay them. But it was also, like, how do I do that? And so, like... Early YouTube, too, it was, like, how do I learn how to cover my brows? How does this work? And so, like, all of that sort of drag technique started entering my, like hand-in-hand with, like, my sewing. And so, like, it sort of, like, intermingles. And then, yeah, I just kept going with that until now where I...
are a badass.
I mean, I certainly... I sometimes think it's less badass and more me flailing around until something happens. But, like, I... Just, like, screaming until, like, it all gets put together. But I do really enjoy that and, like, how much joy my cosplay and my drag, like, brings to people. I think that's, like, my favorite part. And then when I'm not doing all that, I am a graphic designer at HNTB down here in downtown.
Yeah.
So
and good luck for the parade, as we talked about, getting to work. Like, you should just not.
I keep going back, because I'm like, hey, well, I want to be here for history, because I was here for the Royals mm-hmm. parade.
Same. Yeah.
Yeah, and it was so much fun, because, like, they talk about how, like, you know, sports bringing people together. It was very tangible that day, where it was like, no matter who you were, we were Kansas City, and it was just like a sea of blue. And so I kind of want to be there for a sea of red, but do I want to be there for a sea of red in like 20 degree weather?
Right, yes. The difference, yeah.
The answer is yes.
That's the thing we've been talking about, where I'm like, it was so much easier to navigate everything because you could just park and walk. It was 72 and perfect. It was beautiful, and so it didn't matter if you got, you know, abandoned your car on the highway, which happened a lot.
Which did. It was like
20 degrees and almost 500,000 more people.
That is what we...
1.6 is what they're saying.
That's the estimate right now.
Yeah, 1.6. And
at least you're on the west side of downtown, though.
That's true. I'm not in the heart of downtown, right. Like here. Like, mm-hmm. no, this would not be a good area to try to get into.
No.
And, like, I just remember, like, because I am on the west side of downtown, so, like, it's, you know, it was easier for me to get into work, but then, like, watching as it got closer and closer to parade time and watching the ramps just start mm-hmm. getting full of cars and watching the highway just get...
Yeah.
And just imagining 500,000 more people. Oh
yeah,
God.
That many more people, and the possibility of 4 inches of snow accumulating while we're doing it. So, yay!
I love that. Everyone was like, I'm so glad the schools got canceled. They'll probably be canceled.
Yeah, anyway. Uh-huh.
I'm actually worried that they're going to be canceled on Thursday, too, because it's all, like, because what's the city going to clear, how they're going to do that with $1.6 million
clear.
Can't clear, you know,
there's
going to
be one street in the whole city plowed,
right.
And that's the one the parade's on.
Yep, right. And then it's like, good luck everyone else.
Yeah,
like,
Have mm-hmm. a great... So, yeah.
Yes! Go Chiefs.
Go Chiefs. I think that there's a couple of opportunities that you and I have got to do in your drag sort of mm-hmm. persona world.
Yeah.
First one, we'll start with the most recent one.
Yes.
You and I were lucky enough to be part of Transformations 2 weeks ago in Lawrence, Kansas.
Which was incredible. I had never been a part of Transformations before.
Had no idea how cool of a day and night that was going to be.
Wasn't it amazing? Was this your first time hosting?
It was my first...
Judging.
First time judging,
yes.
First time going to the event, really the first time digging into it, because I knew that it was going to be well-attended, and it was great, and we're giving away money
uh-huh.
and whatever, but... I kind of thought it was going to be...
A different thing.
A bar.
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm. And it's crazy, so...
And it was not.
Like, no, it was an event.
It was an event.
Well, because for people who don't know what Transformations is, it is a charity event put on every year in Lawrence by Miss Deja Brooks. And it takes different contestants who have never done drag before. In the beginning, it was in its ninth year this year. And in the beginning part of the competition, it was women who were the contestants. And then they've tried to do male contestants doing drag in the last few years. Mm-hmm. And it was 10 of us this year. And each contestant is participating in a charity. My contestant, John Connolly, was representing the Wilhelmina Center, which is a domestic violence shelter mm-hmm. in Lawrence. He's the president of the board. I was completely honored to just be a part of that. Mm-hmm. But each contestant represents a different charity, and the winner of the evening gets $10,000 donated to their charity.
$10,000. And then we were there also, right, whenever that guy stood up and he gave the top five all $4,000 or something.
Yes,
like
there
that?
Was, I wish I remember the, it was happening so fast, you know, but someone in the audience stood up and he had been a sponsor before, I believe, and he pledged that for every person in the top six, top five,
yeah.
they would each get $500 for mm-hmm. their charity, yeah. regardless of
right.
whether or not they
right.
won.
It was so cool.
It was so cool. And I believe Rainbow Kids won this year.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Rainbow Kids.
Yes.
Yeah. And that was Tabby's second year?
Yes, Tabby Cat's second year. And her contestant last year, Stephen Miscelli, who owns Miscelli's in Lawrence, is John Connolly's partner husband.
Yeah.
Oh,
so, like, it was crazy just having a full drag family. Mm-hmm. I was like, yes!
It
like,
was well presented. I thought Deja put on
a show.
It was a super evening, and the... What do I want to call you guys? The
Drag Consultants is our official title.
Yeah, Drag Consultants. but solid. Solid, solid group of you. I mean,
it was an amazing group of people.
Because
yeah.
I always say this, you know, hashtag integrity. It's the only thing I really have when it comes to some of these things. I don't ever want to cheat. It was the same way with Drag Race, which mm-hmm. we'll talk about. Or, you know, Drag Survivor
yes.
that we did this summer.
Drag Survivor.
But I didn't want to know who the contestants were. I want to know who the consultants were.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to try and go in as novice as possible.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So I could just enjoy the evening. Because, you know, mm-hmm. drama happens and
yeah.
life happens. And I might accidentally, like, find someone who's practicing. You
sure.
know, I had that problem when I was judging Miss Gay Missouri. Is people wanted to come here
mm-hmm.
and rehearse their routines. And I was like, I can't. I just don't even want to know what your music is.
Right.
Well, like, for you to remain completely impartial.
Yeah.
If I'm going to try and do it legit and
mm-hmm.
hold on to my integrity, I almost try to seclude
mm-hmm.
myself. And I know
Absolutely.
Other people don't feel that way because they feel like they can handle it. And I'm just not.
No,
I'm
can't.
Not someone who can do that.
Well, last year, and currently, season two of Rock the Mic at Hamburger Mary's, just
mm-hmm.
shameless plug, 9 p.m. on Thursdays. It's a live singing competition that we do
mm-hmm.
at Hamburger Mary's. And first season, I was a judge and a coach.
Mm-hmm.
And so it got really hard to, like,
yeah.
not be able to mix in those feelings
yeah.
when you're trying to, like...
No
like,
matter
no.
How much you're holding on to your own integrity, it just slips.
It gets slippy.
Yeah.
So, like, I completely understand why for Transformations, if you wanted to go in cold and just react live to what you were saying, I completely respect that.
And it was so cool, because then I was like, it's Julian, it's fucking Genoa, it's, and then Widow made her big, you know,
oh my gosh,
turn that
her
night.
Big announcement,
yeah.
RuPaul's Drag Race Season 12 contestant, RuPaul, or Widow Von Duke.
I know,
RuPaul
she
Von
has
Duke.
That whole damn title now.
She really
does.
She has
to say every damn word.
You do, and she will make sure, she's like, you must, you know.
You must say all
it
of
is,
the things.
Widow Von Duke contestant on RuPaul's Drag Race Season 12. And completely respect, do it. It's like when you're
yeah.
an Oscar winner or an Oscar nominee for the
right.
rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
That is part of your title.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
And I thought
it.
Widow was very kind and generous. I thought her contestant was wonderful. And I not like I thought she was going to be a diva, but she wasn't.
No,
like,
never.
That every single person there that night, I didn't see any drama, mama. It was good.
It was so fun to, like, to be in the back and, like, you know, you are trying to get yourself and your contestant ready at the same time, but, like, how helpful everyone was to each other. Because,
mm-hmm.
like, you hear about pageants where it's like, you don't even get a bobby pin. But, like, this one, it was like, oh, do you have hairspray? Oh, can
right.
I borrow your breast form?
Mm-hmm.
I gave my breasts to Priscilla's contestant because mine worked better for their gown. So, and, like, that was just all across the board, you
yeah.
know? Like, everyone was just being like, oh, here, do you need this? I have this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was just because for that night, like, the consultants and the contestants were very focused on, like, this is for charity. This is for...
Someone's going to win money.
There's something bigger than just a crown.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was not tied to, like, yourself. It was tied to, like, what can we do for this community?
Mm-hmm. And I love that you guys did sort of, like, a pre-speech about them, that Aisha talked to each one of the consultants, mm-hmm. and they sort of gave a little monologue about themselves and the contestant, mm-hmm. excuse me, before they went on. And I loved getting to know them. I loved hearing their affidavits. And it's kind of fun to hear the consultants talk, because so often we don't get to hear... It's what just get up there and do your routine.
Yeah, no, like you have a tight 3 minutes and then you get off stage. And it was fun to just be able to relate for like a moment, like your journey with this contestant, mm-hmm. like what you did with them. And I hope that... Shameless plug, Deja, I hope you invite me again. But, like, I really hope to do it again, because, like, what Deja has done to build this community mm-hmm. and this outreach using the power of drag. Amazing.
Yep. Packed house, people.
They sold out all of their tickets, like, within a day, even less than a day.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it was,
VIP
like,
was 38 seconds or something like that.
And
they were, like... obviously, those are corporate sponsors. Yes. And stuff, but, boom, just...
Yeah. And they were, like, I remember, like, our team, like, with the dancers that were dancing with John, they were like, does anyone else have, like, just a spare ticket somewhere that they could, like, I'm trying to get my mom or my sister. Right. And I was like, this is a big deal. This is incredible.
I was told not to give away my general admission ticket. Like, they were like, find people someone. Are going to come up, people are going to do that. And I was like, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Cool.
They're like, they are serious about it, mm-hmm. which...
No props. Parking in downtown Lawrence. Someone needs to solve that one, by the way. That's the only big problem.
No parking really in Lawrence.
Yeah. No.
Like, it's tricky.
I was shocked. Like, I was, because our call was, like, 2 hours before or whatever, and I, like, we all were texting Deja, like,
I don't know where to go.
I'm not gonna be there.
I think compounding the problem, too, was KU had a basketball game, and so, like, everyone was downtown to, like, hang out and, like, watch the game, and so it's like, but don't you know we have drag going on?
Yeah, right, on the street.
Yeah, just find somewhere. I actually, okay, this is a horror story from Backstage Transformations. I get there, I'm unpacking for John / Willow and myself. I realize I left all of my brushes in Kansas City.
Oh, no.
So, like, all of the things. I have all my makeup, I have everything, and I don't have any of my brushes. So it's like, that nightmare, you're at
Is
school.
Is that why you made the joke about you didn't need that brush to do that?
Yeah, kinda, a little bit. Okay. And I was like, just like, maybe I'm unpacking it for my psyche. But, so I was like, what can I do? Because I was trying to convince Adam, my partner, and also my drag manager, sometimes when he's like, throwing stuff in a bag and being like, we have to go, your call time's in like 30 minutes. I was like trying to convince him to like maybe drive back to Kansas City and get my brushes. That was like my panic brain, like thinking about it. But then he slipped on the ice like January 11th, that last time that we had that terrible ice storm, and he shattered his wrist in 4 places. And so he like can't drive. Like, and he's like, I physically can't, I will.
I can't do that.
Yeah, he's like, I'm so sorry. Thank the Lord that Bianca Bliss was like, I have an extra set of brushes. Do you want to utilize these? Because,
I love Bianca Bliss.
Well, but, like, the reason I bring that up for parking is because, like, I had parked, we had gotten there at, like, 8:30 because we wanted to get a good spot for the mirrors. And, I parked right in front of Free State. And I did not want to move my car because, like, as soon as the people started inundating and I was like, no, I'm not moving my car. What do I do? Like, do I get an Uber? Ingrid, one of John's friends, and who's also on Team John, she took me to Michael's and I was able to get, like, a spatula for eyebrows and, like, I also got, like, a few supplementary brushes at the TJ Maxx, and then Bianca gave me her brushes and I was, like, crying on the inside. And...
to your point, that was how nice almost everyone is backstage, and that doesn't always happen.
No, because she could have been like, well, good luck, girl, but she wasn't. She was like, I have brushes.
How long,
like,
did you work with your contestant?
John and I, we got our assignments, like... at the end of October, beginning of November, and then we started like texting back and forth then he and some of his team came down and watched me in a show at Hamburger Mary's. We got to meet for the first time and like talk about some of the ideas, and then a lot of it was John's impetus. Like, he found the choreographer, he found the dancers, he found the rehearsal space, and then he crafted the number, which was really funny because I was like, this feels very much like a Luna number. I think we were matched pretty well.
You were.
Yeah, and I was like...
For our listeners, what was the number?
The number, okay, so in the beginning, Wilhelmina comes out and it's to When I Fall in Love by Doris Day, and she's in a full, like housewife in the 50s fantasy. Mm-hmm. And then she gets interrupted by a doorbell because drag queens love being interrupted by a doorbell or a phone in their mix because then it changes the song. Mm-hmm. And then so the dress rips apart in the back. Thank you, Snap Tape. And then the song changes to My Life Would Suck Without You by Kelly Clarkson. And she's in, like, this full sequin fringe moment and full choreography, full dancers. And it was just so funny because I was like, yes, tearaway, yes, big ombre hair, yes, let's find surprises for the audience. It was so, like, watching John just, like, fully start to embrace, like, the woman and the feminine after, like, the rehearsals and, like, being yelled at by me and Ingrid and Jake, the choreographer. Like, it was just so... The power of drag, like, it's so amazing to watch. And, like, it was very much, like, you're doing amazing, sweetie, from the back. Mm-hmm. Like, and I feel like all of the consultants, because we were in the back corner, just in, like, poofy outfits and, like, just big watching. Yeah, big poofy outfits.
Sorry I stood in front of you in that photo.
No!
Adam yelled at me.
Well, no. Okay, so.
Sort of.
Well, yeah.
That's why I let you take the first one, and then I slid into the second one.
No, I love... I mean, like, why would you not be there? You're part of Transformations. And, like, also...
There's I know a separate... every single one of your fucking
exactly. Yeah, you know all of us, and we posted it, and it's beautiful. Yeah. And I... But, like, each one of those consultants really did right by their contestant. Mm-hmm. Like, and I think it really showed. Like, they... Like, everyone, I felt, like, came prepared, and, like, they wanted
not
to
not that
do...
you guys are not kind humans, but everyone was so... Kind of.
And I wonder if people are like, wow, drag queens must be the worst, because, like, we keep emphasizing how nice everyone is.
Well, I don't think that there's too many of those events where everyone is actually sort of rooting for
everybody else.
Night.
That's yeah. true. Yeah. It's mean, for the night and not for
it's
yourself.
It's for the night. I yeah. mean, there's so many variables that you can take into. These people have never performed before in
oh
some
my gosh.
Ways. But I had to judge kind of harsh on
you
some
did.
Of them because there were
right.
good routines yeah. that were coming out of there.
And it's like, it's always that thing where it's like, whenever you get critique for like theater or whatever, mm-hmm. and then you're like, it's great that I get to critique on the small detail things because that
yeah.
means you have the base. It's very that, like each contestant with their number, I felt it was like, it was small things. It wasn't huge. Yeah. I forgot the entire back half of my
right.
thing. And it's really a testament to how serious they took it for their charity and how serious, like, the consultants were like, yeah, we're going to help you live your fantasy.
The heartstrings yeah. part, though, with the questions, the top five, where I was just like, I want all of them to have the money because
yeah.
every organization deserves $10,000.
Each
yeah.
of them.
Change the
it could just really change what they're trying to do for
yes.
their community. And so, like, having events like this and having having awareness for the things that are going on in your own community and how you can help them.
And I can't believe all of that is happening in Lawrence.
I know!
Good for Deja.
Good for Deja. Good for Lawrence.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
So, earlier this last summer, for 13 weeks,
yeah.
we spent some time with each other.
Yes, we did.
In Drag Survivor. So that was from May 31st to, I believe, like, September
That sounds correct. You really know dates. For me, it was kind of just like a blur. And a lot of crying. Because Drag Survivor, if you don't know, is an event that happens at Hamburger Mary's as well. And it is a live competition, much like Drag Race, where the contestants every week get a different challenge. And we know an idea of what the challenge is going to be, but we don't know what the challenge for that week is going to be mm-hmm. until it's announced the week prior when the winner...
Did you guys even know what the potential categories were going to be?
We have some of the categories.
Yeah.
And then, so it gives you the opportunity to prepare. But, like, for example, say for my, like, we had an Animal Kingdom week. So, like, say for my Animal Kingdom week, I had, like, a really great idea, but it would take a little bit to build. Uh-huh. I could start on that. But then, like, surprise, it's the second week of the competition.
Right.
So whatever you had planned has to be ready by then.
And you guys
so.
Had some tough weeks where, like, what was, like, the reading one or something? Like, the second week or something when you guys didn't even know each other.
Right.
Yeah, that was a surprise because, like, some of us knew each other from, like, you know, because my season three of Drag Survivor was, the legend season.
Yeah.
So it was people who had time in the Kansas City community to sort of build their reputation. And, like, we've all sort of worked with each other in some capacity. There were a few contestants that I didn't know, but, so we were, for the reading challenge, it was kind of hard because, like, you could kind of talk about some surface things, but like it hadn't gotten to the nitty gritty part of the competition.
And you hadn't done shitty shit in the show yet.
Exactly. I couldn't be like, oh girl, you're like fourth week challenge, because it was the second week. Right, so exactly. Like we couldn't say anything about each other. But it was really fun to just like dig deep and like be, because like reading, when you're reading someone, you never want it to be, for me, I think it's more fun to not be like attacking the person's character as an individual. It is like Margaret Cho says when she's like, when you pick someone apart to read and she's like say their eyes are too close together and you could be like, oh, you know, it'll be real good for you. A monocle, like very like that kind of read.
Yeah.
So it's like, and it's understood to all be in good fun, but like to read each other successfully, it was like, it was funny. Cause Heidi Banks in the week before was like, this ain't personal. It's just drag. We all know each other and respect each other. Right. We should go in and let the audience have a good time.
Yeah.
And so it was, like, a lot of fun to just be like, okay. And, like, believe me, the anxiety beforehand, be like, why did everybody hate me after I say this mean thing? Because, like, Bianca Bliss, my read for her was...
imagine being a judge.
Oh, God. Like, oh, like, us just reading your the eyes off the ground. Mm-hmm. And, but, like, Bianca Bliss, my read for her, which is still my favorite, and which Zach Zakai / Ace of Blazefix came up with, Bianca Bliss is such a beautiful queen. She's a former Miss Continental breakfast. And, so, I know. So, I was cackling about that, but I was like, what does she hate? Because back then, Bianca and I didn't really know each other, but she completely got
it. She got brought back too, right?
She did get brought back. After, because she left our video game week, which was like week 5 or 6, and then she got brought back week 8.
The show was so weird because we also about halfway through lost our host.
Oh my gosh, we did.
Because, you know.
Well, and who?
Widow.
Vivian left, right?
Vivian
left. Vivian dropped.
She did. Oh girl, like the girls were dropping. And it was like, what happened? Well.
Dakota Rivera did not get to do
her tap routine.
Because we were like, it's the read night, remember?
Right.
Oh my god, my heart. Let me tell you, my heart stopped.
Stopped.
Oh, no one was breathing. The girls were not living. And, like, I just remembering that moment, just being like, because, like I said, you do know some of the categories and you can prepare for them. Mm-hmm. You don't know when they're going to happen. But, like, we all knew that the reading challenge was going to be one of these challenges. Mm-hmm. So you have time to prepare for it. So to come out and not be ready for your challenge is, like,
I was so proud of Widow season 13 drag.
Season, oh yes.
12.
So yes, when I'm on due, now a contestant on RuPaul's Drag Race season 12, make sure you tune in February 28th.
Mm-hmm. The last day of Black History Month.
Yes!
Which she was excited about. Mm-hmm.
Yes, very nice.
So yeah, that was very interesting that she was like, listen, if you did not prepare, you don't get to do it.
Nope, you do not.
And I was so proud.
Much respect.
She stuck to her guns on being like, listen, this is a theme, you have to do it.
And even if you didn't prepare for it before the competition started, you knew. She was. And even if she, you know,
this
like...
is not to dig on her, but I'm saying in preparation for what the show was requiring.
I really don't know if it was worse to go first. I ended up calling it Curse of the First because I had to go a couple of times go first. Or if it's the worst to go last. Because, because we had themes, it's like, we're drag queens, so, like, a lot of our references, we are gonna maybe pull from the same stuff, potentially.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, to go last and already have some of your material go before you,
and
you don't have time to, like, readjust. And, like, it's kind of that thing where you have to be like, hey, like, I have to present it to you in a new way and to sort of, like, show you why I chose it that way. And, like, it works sometimes. But, like, I never knew. Like, somewhere in the middle was always, like, yeah, like, keep me there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because, like, the judges feel good because they've had a couple cocktails. And then, like, the audience is still kind
did
of, like...
Did they ever give us cocktails?
Ah! Oh, my God, screaming. Like,
there was one night where they were, like, we couldn't stop.
Just pushing like, drinks.
It was, and it might have been a night where we didn't have to talk because you guys were doing something, you know, or whatever.
Yes.
But there was one night, where, like, literally me and my husband afterward, I was like, I can't do that again.
I physically cannot
I did
drive
a shot,
us from
and
here.
And then someone else would just bring us one.
Yep.
I'm like...
Mm-hmm. That's the, yeah, they're like, oh my God, just, like, do this, have fun. And you're like,
oh my God, no, please.
Yeah. And so, like, yeah, if you can catch the judges right before they black out, that was, like, the best time. Mm-hmm, because then, you know, like, they'd be like, you were great, girl, fierce. Like, okay, good.
But that was crazy being a judge, too, because we switched out judges so many times.
Yeah, you had special guests.
Up there. And with people getting brought back or being eliminated without it, there was a couple of nights where... I'll just speak and I don't even care. Like, that, it was like, why are we even there? The judges, because they were usurping our decisions.
Power.
Sure. They were bringing things back. They were saying, oh, well, we're going to keep both people instead.
Yeah.
And it was, and that was just tough because we had already told you all what you could do better or suck. And then someone else was making the decision to keep.
I think, too, it's, like, with those sort of judging decisions that happened where people were brought back or, like, let go, I think there's also, like, the audience component to it, too.
Right.
Because, like, the live audience really does determine a lot of, like, how the show goes, I believe.
Yeah.
Because if the audience isn't there and they're not there to support you,
you know.
Mm-hmm. And so, like, for being able to read the room and being like, what does this competition need? So, like, and that also, like, people being brought back, people leaving, it also kept you on your toes as a contestant, which, you know, just shaved off years of my life. But, like, and, like, you know, my heart dropped out of my stomach a couple of times. But it does give you the opportunity to just be like, okay. Like, you know what I mean? And, like, at those moments, you were just kind of, I think the easiest way to go about it was just be like, this was, you know, like, take it in, process it, however you're gonna do. Like, I'm
just used to a little more control.
Yeah. Well, like, because it's like you would, like, you know, with an elimination-based competition, you would be like, this is how the eliminations would work.
Right.
But, you know, with reality TV twists, it's like, anything can happen.
Anything can happen.
And then so it was like, it was, for as a contestant, I was like, what? Like, why? But then also, like, okay, I get it. And then just sort of like... It is your opportunity to rise to the occasion or not.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And, like, be like, you
and
know...
I think it kept you on your toes.
I was... The amount of nights where I would just look over at Adam or at Team Luna and just be like, what do we do?
Right.
Mm-hmm. What do we physically do? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
It was fun.
And
the thing I always wish... I mean, because I don't think they ever gave you guys our score sheets. I don't even know...
No, we never got a physical score sheet.
I feel like you guys would have trusted some other things. And a couple of times I know that, I think it was me and Daisha talked, we were like, I might be giving critiques, but you're not seeing, like, the good and or bad stuff that else I'm running.
You
I'm
only
literally
have, like,
told, talk quickly.
Yes,
we need
you only have so
night.
Long because we have, like, X amount of contestants, and, like, if all four or three judges talk, it's going to take a while. So, like, you're only giving us, like, your opinions, the stuff that you can, and so, like, it's not always gonna be the good stuff. Like, you have to critique, because that's what you're there for. And so, like, I think it does wear on you a little bit when you're like, all I hear is, like, you know, like, this and this, like, you have hanging threads, like,
right.
You have, oh my god, that, I'm getting that tattooed on my back. that was one of my critiques, if no one knows. But, like, you have hanging...
Is that from Mulan?
No, that was not from Mulan, that was from L'Oreal. It was, like, we had to do a Christmas in July challenge, and I, had, like, I used Adam, he does, like, a Obi-Wan Kenobi Jedi cosplay, and I used that robe because I'm like, great, it's already made, I don't have to sew anything. And then it's purposefully distressed in a way, but then she was told, I believe, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, she was told to go by pageant rules. And, like, I respect the idea that if you're presenting something on a stage, she should not be having hanging threads.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
But I don't know if you knew that.
I did. You know, you just kind of take it as you can. And so, like, having hanging threads and being like, are you kidding? But, like, I get it now. But, like, that broke my brain for a little bit. But it was also, like, pageant rules, what are you going to do? And I don't know where else I was going with that. But you do really have to just, like, respect the critique and, like, be like, you are, Trixie Mattel said this, while they do have, like, your fate in their hands, they're just humans with opinions.
Yeah.
Right.
Like,
and I'm just one opinion.
Yeah, exactly.
And what the hardest thing, I think I was talking to Astro the Clown, because
he was one of the contestants.
Mm-hmm. And he asked me afterward, he was just like, there was one week where you gave a note and the next week it was different. And I was like, I'm going to break your heart on something.
Mm-hmm.
You think that you gave the same performance both weeks. Like, in your head, my note was for this performance tonight, but yes. next week you may have thought you did something, but that does not mean that something else didn't change.
Right.
And so the note could sound different.
Yep.
Because you didn't.
You didn't deliver that part.
You didn't deliver that part. And so as much as I want you, Doug Brewer or whatever, to be your weirdo self, which is I still hold on, that's the only reason he was any good in that show.
I mean, no, I concur.
Is like, I was more like, use what you have. Mm-hmm. Like you, Julian, you know, as Luna, like be your cosplay Disney princess person. And if you veer from that,
It's
it
hard.
Might not be as strong, although we are used to you being fierce.
It was hard, too, to just be like, what can I do to, like, keep them interested, but make sure I'm still serving what they know me for? Mm-hmm. And so, like, it was, what was nice, too, about Drag Survivor was, like, it was a competition, and you should go in with your strongest stuff, but also it was kind of like an opportunity to experiment and try some stuff that I didn't think I could.
Well, with so many established people, you all were coming in with your own...
We have our brand. We have,
your own,
like,
brand.
Yeah.
And we're like, cool, we know you can do that.
But what else can you do?
What else can you do?
But, like, it's like, what else can you do? But also, how can you also serve you? And it was just that constant balance of, like, back and forth.
I learned a lot.
It's also, like, not everybody, but a good portion of the people in that season are used to pageantry.
Yes.
Which is, like, it's very much that same level of competition, but it's in 3 days. Not 13 weeks. Where you're like, because I cannot hear this anymore over, like, 3 months.
I think
you know what I mean?
That was. Whereas, it was, like, the pressure. And then plus, it was an extended... Because, like, with a pageant, you're like, you're done. And you're done at one and done. With this, it was like, you are constantly receiving critique over the period of 3 months.
And variables change from week to week in your personal life.
Absolutely.
So, like, you might be like, oh my god, I'm so tired this week.
Yes.
I'm so
sick. When you go
I didn't
to
have
Miss
time
Missouri,
to do that.
Right. When you go to Miss Missouri, you have, like, that week is all that is. You don't have the external stuff, but, like, no, bitches, I have a life. Like, I have to go to work. I have to do, you know.
I have to go to work to pay for this drag.
Right, exactly.
And also, I have to complete something in, like, a week. Mm-hmm. There'd be times when I'd be bouncing ideas off, and Zach Sakai, he would be like, I'd be like, oh, what if this happened and this happened? And he'd look at me and be like, this is your 72-hour warning. You have 3 days. Like, I don't know where you're going to get 20 backup dancers. And I'm like, I don't even know if I know 20 people. You know?
Well, I'm going to try.
And, like, and sometimes in those moments of, like, panic, you're like, wait, no, that's actually a good idea. Mm-hmm. And so, like, you kind of, like, play with that. But those are always, like, the riskiest stuff.
Mm-hmm. There was an interesting conversation I had about it because someone private messaged me and said, is Drag Race only for rich people? Like,
oh, like the Drag Race, the RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yes, or anything.
Oh, like, sure, like this kind
of... Really is drag an art form for people who don't have expendable
income?
Because at some point, the people at the bar are going to be like, I already saw you in that dress.
Oh my gosh.
I already saw you in that wig. I've seen that song, and so...
I mean, like, as someone who is constantly in anxiety that, like, I'm repeating outfits or wigs too much, it racks up so fast.
I can't imagine.
And, like...
Especially when you have to do it for 13 straight weeks.
Exactly, and it's all new numbers. Like, if you brought in something that they knew, that you've done before, they were like, girl, like, what are you doing? You know what I mean?
Yeah, that should have been better.
Yeah, or like, I know you've done this before. And so, like, for something like Drag Race, for something like Drag Survivor, or drag in general, where you are sort of putting in your money.
Well, because I always wonder about, on Drag Race, like, they come with clothes, but do they have to actually create outfits on the show, or are a lot of those sort of, like, do you bring your trunk
and then you're
able to pull from there?
It's very similar to, from, like, all of the rumors.
Yeah.
So, like, it's very similar to the process of, like, what we have for Drag Survivor, where you know some of the categories, but not all of them might be fulfilled. And you do need to know, you do have some outfits prepared. Like, you can have, like, for example, like, that mermaid challenge in season, Miss Cracker and Aquarius season. They knew that the mermaid challenge was coming, and that's why they all had these elaborate mermaid stuff. But then, actually, that was Monique's season, too.
Yeah.
Asia. Oh, yes, hi! I just saw them first because I loved Miss Cracker's mermaid fantasy because it was My Little Pony pink iridescent,
so
and it's just, like, me.
Yeah.
So, like, but, so they know stuff like that. Like, they know that there's a mermaid challenge runway, and they have to serve that.
Right.
But there are challenges where it's, like, make a dress out of the stuff in the 99-cent store. Right. And, like, so you have to make garments there. But,
so,
like,
on that, you should know how to make clothes? I mean, that, you're not really a queen that has your clothes made for you, then?
I think it's, like, you should at least know how to thread, like, thread a sewing machine. Because, like, for me, the frustrating thing, watching Drag Race, because it's going into its 12th season, February 28th, is that you watch these girls, and the first challenge is always the sewing challenge.
Right.
It has been that way since time immemorial. Mm-hmm. And you're watching them, like, I don't know how to sew, like, I don't know what a bobbin is, and you're like, but you knew that you had to for this.
Right.
And, like, I mean, on the same hand, someone like me, who, if I ever went on there, please, Jesus, if I ever went on there and, it's like, yes, I could sew a garment, but, like, also would I need to know how to, like, death drop? Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's like, I know the things that have worked in the past seasons that I should prepare for, but, like, what do I concentrate on in order to, like, be fully prepared?
Yeah.
Right.
So, like, it's such a gamble. Like, and, like, with drag in general, like, being a rich people's sport, sometimes I do, like, maybe unjustly compared to, like, lacrosse, where it's like, it's like, I know what you mean. Mm-hmm. You know what I, like, it's like, it's like you need all the gear in order to play, but that doesn't necessarily mean you can't beg, borrow, and steal. Like, like you start to build a community with these performers, and you're like, hey, sis, can I borrow this wig from you? I have this idea. Or, like, oh, you know, like, if you know someone who knows how to sew, then, like, you can go over.
Maybe you can help choreograph something.
Yeah, it's like, hey, I will do this for you. Yeah. Can we, like, make something work?
Because,
like,
we have those discussions a lot in theater and art in general. Mm-hmm. Is theater essentially just something that rich people can go and see? And we're like, and you're like, God.
Because, like, it's not a yes or no answer.
Yeah.
It's very nuanced and complicated. And with theater, it's, like, to keep the theater itself running, like...
Mm-hmm. Well, our costs are still going up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, like, the building costs, the tech costs, mm-hmm. like, everything costs. And,
well,
like,
paying people the wages...
That they should be paying.
...come there mm-hmm. and designate 7 weeks to a... Like, it's such a... interesting conversation
yes.
to have
mm-hmm.
that is art then
mm-hmm.
only something you should be able to do because or if you're not financially stable you need to be savvy in a different way
exactly
sort of what you're saying I mm-hmm. need to find my friend to be like hey Courtney you
yeah.
make jewelry
right
I'm gonna babysit
right.
every week
right.
until I can pay you back for the necklace
yeah.
exactly
but I'm
exactly.
gonna need you to put
well,
some
you
clip
don't
on
know,
earrings together
right if yeah if you don't know how to do something then figure out the like I don't sew but bitch can work a hot glue gun
yeah
like, you know what I mean
right.
and just
glue
know
together.
That when you go into the 99 cent store you better get shit that's plastic as opposed to fabric
exactly.
or whatever you
like
know
make
what
it
mean?
Work
exactly
like
then
very
you have to time. Figure out how you can do that then
right
you know
a million
yeah,
percent.
It's just those conversations.
Yeah.
So now we get to go into the last section of it. Can you believe we've almost been talking about
can
it?
You
oh,
believe? This
insane.
Is crazy.
I was so looking forward to this Couch Chats, but I knew that it would never be enough time for me.
It's
so
true.
It's so
well,
sad.
Listeners, but call in if you ever want me to come in for part two.
I would
that,
love
to.
Whenever
right.
you're on, you know, Drag Race. Or
oh my gosh.
Maybe after Comic-Con, which is...
Oh, Comic-Con, Planet Comic-Con, which is the local comic convention mm-hmm. here in Kansas City. It is March 20th through March 22nd.
Mm-hmm.
And a little exciting surprise, I've been working on this documentary with Nick Young. He is a local filmmaker here, and it's called What We Can Be. It is a sort of a lens into local cosplay and cosplayers, and it premieres March 20th at Planet Comic-Con.
That's so cool.
And I'm very excited. So,
do you have a booth? Do you have...
Yes, Another Castle Creations, which is my cosplay group. We will have a booth this year. I don't know exactly what we are going to do, but I keep saying that we need, like, a backdrop and a ring light for people, and I think that'll be really fun. And what our favorite thing is just to, like, go around and meet people.
Mm-hmm.
And I also have a couple panels throughout con. Like, I know that I'm going to be part of, like, a gender bent panel. And I'm going to be a part of the What We Can Be panel after the film, but I don't know times yet, and
mm-hmm.
I believe those times don't come out until the official schedule comes out February 15th.
Okay.
So,
cool.
So like, all of that information will be available at planetcomiccon.com.
I love that. I know, Julian, you are a master of so many different sections, and I love that your creation just fucking flows out of your
You're incredible,
hands.
Thank you. Also, if you happen to be at NakaCon, sorry, this is another, NakaCon is the anime convention that happens here, for the first time in forever, they're doing a like an anime themed burlesque show in partnership with Anime Allure and Mood Review. And that is February, Friday the 13th, February 13th. And that is part of the adult programming, like later in the evening. And so that should be really fun. And tickets are available through nakacon.com. For that, and yeah, I'm like trying to think if there's anything else I need to plug.
Think about it while we ask the hard questions.
We have two more things to plug, because that weekend of February 13th, February 15th, we have Drag Queen Storytime.
Yes, Drag Queen Storytime.
Which is unfortunately under attack right now.
Yes, it is.
In a myriad of ways. So I think that both of us will be present at the march, the protest at Jeff City. They have kind of come after Storytime in a very weird way with a library bill. Our Storytime is not at risk for that.
Right.
Because
we
are at Hamburger Mary's, but our Storytime last month was shared by a lovely crazy woman off of Fox News with her 700,000 followers that came after us. So we will, you know, be kind of working with all of these story times across the state that are at risk for being in the library system under this very strange bill that they are trying to criminalize.
Because we have three hardcore story times, right? St. Joseph, Kansas City, and St. Louis.
And also Lawrence.
Then Springfield, I believe.
Okay,
as well.
Yeah.
So
awesome.
There are kind of organizers
from Missouri.
Yeah, there are organizers from all over the state that are working together. We'll actually be taking a bus down.
You are?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay,
so,
I might be on that bus.
And that is the first week of March.
March 7th,
yeah.
Yes.
At noon in Jeff City.
Yeah.
Yep, absolutely. So
we will all be there.
Yeah. Yeah. Even if Drag Queen Storytime isn't your thing, the bill is written in a way that it should really be protested, whether that's your shtick or not, because it's quite frightening.
It is. Find a queen that'll do my face just to make something.
Yeah.
Well,
I think
if
we're
you're
all
going
to wake
up at 4 a.m., like,
I will wake up. Anytime.
Mm-hmm. But like really the bill itself, the way it's presented, also has the opportunity to censure certain books in libraries, and the idea that we could be withholding information from anyone in a nationally funded system as like a library is terrifying.
It's terrifying.
And I hope they send that back to them about the library, that one day the people who are in favor of that, one day your book could be on the chopping block.
Yeah.
And do you really want your
would you want Ayn Rand to be, like, banned from all of your libraries? Well, I mean, like, but, like, no,
because
we live in the United States.
Yeah,
we live in the United States, and free speech is one of our enshrined rights.
And knowledge is power.
Knowledge
Absolutely.
Is power.
Yeah, well, and it's not, that's the problem, is that it's not even necessarily the censorship, it's the criminalization of it.
Exactly.
That there are, you know, that they're claiming that librarians will be, you know, sentenced, fined, and those sorts
and
of...
And people are trying to keep this under wraps so people don't
so
care
fast.
About it.
Exactly.
So
they're trying to push it through so fast that,
yeah.
like, it's under the radar and, like, no one knows, but,
yeah.
like, we are going to let it be known with glitter.
Yep.
Yeah.
So.
Yes,
and you
yes,
should
we are.
Know that it'll probably be some of the more loud, vocal, what is stereotypically crazier, fantastic people who are going to be screaming right now about this library bill, but don't be...
Right.
No.
Don't be scared that we're the ones that are speaking up, because so often the weirdos are the ones that speak up
first.
Yeah,
absolutely. And I believe we do have on record that there will be counter-protests. They have secured their permit. That came through yesterday.
We also
so.
Have something on Good Friday that we'll be talking about.
Yes,
coming
we do.
Up.
Oh,
so I think you're
a part
that.
Of that as well.
Wait, okay.
Astro the Clown.
Yes. I can't wait. There's no official announcement yet, but I'm
we
very...
We are not officially announced
right.
because we are, by the time that this airs, we might be announcing this Friday.
Yeah.
Okay.
But we did not want to say anything
the Super Bowl
because
stuff.
Of Jeffy's.
Yes. No, I... all I can say is that I am incredibly excited for this event.
I think I saw your rendering the other day.
I have to, okay, here's full tea. Like, I'm very bad at checking Luna's messages, but I did see some of the sketches coming through, and I was like, is mine in there? And I'm like, I'm very excited.
Mm-hmm.
So, if anyone knows pop culture sculptures and their incredible work, you will not want to miss this
but
event.
We also are maybe partnering with Wonderland and maybe Fantasy Fashion Week.
The sisters, perhaps Fashion Week.
Yeah. For the same event.
All for the same event.
Maybe a return of the Mr. Justin Van Pelt will be joining us, perhaps. So
as an MC,
I'm I don't want to feel like I'm like fake gay gasping, but I am very gay gasping mm-hmm. right now. Like, it's yeah. so good.
We are really excited for a continuation of something that they are trying to do every year.
Yes,
yes.
As sort of an awareness and fashion show, and
mm-hmm. oh my gosh.
Ironically, I think that was our very first episode of Caps Chats was the promo for that
probably.
Last
full
show.
Well, not full circle. I guess we can call it Caps Circle.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh.
Crescent Moon, if you will.
Oh.
yes. So. Julian,
yes.
What is your definition of real magic?
My definition of real magic is when you can take something from nothing. And I think why I believe that is because with anything artistic, like, you kind of start from zero. And then you start to ask yourselves these questions about what does it take to get from zero to here and to there and to there. And then all of a sudden you have a thing that wasn't there before. And that's always so magical to me. That's why I loved doing musical theater for so long, is because you take a group of people that, you know, some maybe you've worked together before, maybe you've never met, but in the end you put on this production that, like, reaches out to people and shares, you know, what you've been doing for, like, however mm-hmm. long. And that's why I love cosplay, is because, like, you take basically base materials, sometimes you're creating them yourselves, and, like, you create... people's childhoods. Mm-hmm. And then that's why I also love drag, is because, like, you take glue sticks and, like, hairspray, and then you become a different person than you were when you started.
Yeah.
So that's real magic to
mm-hmm.
me.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I love that. Mm-hmm. Something out of nothing.
Yeah.
Yes. All right, you are a new addition to the crayon box. What color are you and why?
Oh, gosh. I believe my crayon would be shimmering aqua, and
like a mermaid's tail.
Like a mermaid's tail.
Yes.
Like a mermaid's tail. Because I've been obsessed with mermaids since I was a child. Also, I really respond to the color blue and the ocean and the calming part of it. But I'm not like a tranquil ocean. I'm like that, like, lappy, kind of like sparkly mm-hmm. part of the ocean that you mm-hmm. see, like, on the beach. And so I think I would have to pick shimmering aqua.
Mm-hmm. I do. I love that.
That's wonderful.
Thanks. Mm. I was trying to think of, like, jungle green or, like, macaroni orange. Like, mm-hmm. so, like, very that.
Macaroni orange. I love that.
Too. I love macaroni orange. I also love macaroni. Send carbs to mm-hmm. PO. I'm kidding.
Yeah. Yes.
I love macaroni and cheese. Mm-hmm. And you can give it to me straight out of the craft box.
No, absolutely. I'm not. Like, yeah, that's the best kind.
Mm-hmm. What is something you were told you could never do or do well that you have accomplished or are in the process of accomplishing?
Oh, I think what stands out to me in this moment is what I'm doing now. Like, not that I was ever met with, like, vehement no's from my family, because they have been so supportive of, like, all of this going on. But I think...
What is the Julian?
Yeah, whatever Julian is and whatever Luna is, they've been supportive. But I think it was more of, like, they would be like, but, like, how do you do that and still support yourself? Or, like, how do you do that and still navigate a life that includes medical bills and, you know, like, food and, like, travel? And, like, how do you do all that? And I think... I'm figuring it out, where it's, like, your passion can sustain you, like, in your soul, but you also need to take care of your mind and your body. And so, like, making sure that balance is always going forward, and that, like, you're not losing yourself to, like, the grind of what adult life is.
Yeah.
I think that's something that I'm trying at and trying to succeed at.
Mm-hmm.
I love this interview.
I have not rehearsed these answers in the mirror.
Fair. All right, you are invisible for 24 hours. What do you do with your time?
I hop a plane and find where Chris Hemsworth is at, wherever he is. I'm just kidding. No, that's
gross. And you just watch him?
And I just watch him, whatever he's doing. No, I'm just kidding. It's 2020. Like, we don't have to do all that. If I was invisible for 24 hours, part of it... which is kind of lame, is just kind of, like, I think I would want to, like tuck away and just, like, watch some shows on Netflix,
mm-hmm.
like, for a little bit, which is silly. Like, maybe for the first 2 hours, and just be, like, get caught up in some shows, because,
mm-hmm.
like, mm-hmm. with all the stuff that I do, like, it's hard to just, like, be part of the zeitgeist and talk about, like, pop culture, which
mm-hmm.
I love. I love pop culture.
But when do you have time for it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
like, oh, what do I do? So, I would do that for a little bit, and then I think I would just, like... want to, like, roam around the city and just, like, observe. Because, like, I've been noticing this a lot lately with myself. I, like, like tunnel vision is a bad thing, and like just like being tied to like a screen all the time is such a bad thing. And so like I will try my darndest, and it doesn't work all the time, but I will try to put my phone away and just like walk and like look around and like just seeing what Kansas City can be like and what it is, and like seeing people interacting and like living their lives and like trying to make the city a better place. I'd love to just observe that for just 24 hours and see what it was like.
I think more people are trying to do what you're talking about. Yeah. I've seen more people like what I always have done this, and I'm not even trying to be like, hey, I've done this, but like if you sit, anytime I sit down at a table or something, I always set my phone down.
Yeah.
Like especially dinner times, especially things like that, because we could always get back to the phone.
Yes. The internet will never go away.
It will never go away. It's pumping 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
And you can check your likes later.
So I appreciate people that I almost see like they are on their phone, and the second that they get somewhere, that phone goes away. Mm-hmm. And I'm just appreciating that a lot right now.
And especially when you're like with like friends and like, you know, like, cause it's so easy to like when you're in the comfort of friends, it is so easy to just like pull out your phone and just like kind of do this for a while. But like, you know, just taking some time to like acknowledge each other and like, you know, you guys wanted to be together for a reason. So like, like get off of that. Like, I will say though, like I do stream music some from my phone, so when it's like away from my whatever. So like maybe that's the next step, is just like be okay with silence for a while, and do that. But I think just being more observant and like being more in the moment.
Yeah,
I've noticed it even happens on accident sometimes, like if because you want to show someone a picture or a video or
meme.
Something, so you pull that thing out and you show it to one person. But if I'm showing it to Courtney, you are excluded. Like you are,
and then I have to be like, "Oh my god, I want
to
see!"
And then we have to see it, so then we do it again, and now we've absorbed into this picture.
Yeah,
and I used to justify and be like, "Oh well, I needed to Google something or I wanted to look at something," and I'm like, "Hold on, that's literally putting the phone in my hand."
Yeah,
and I don't know if it's something that's happened to you either, but like, you know, when it's so easy to Google something, like how old is Rosen Island in that season of Golden Girls, and it's like, I almost said Drag Race, Rosen Island and Drag Race, yes, but like, and then you could so easily Google it, but then that also takes you to your phone,
right?
And so it's just kind of like that thing where you're like, I'm fighting it, and maybe we can figure it out as a group,
right,
together. So like that too is like conversation.
It's the next levels down, you know. It's not just sitting there zoned out. It
exactly.
is engaging and using your phone in a tool that isn't always needed.
Yeah.
What is the piece of advice you would give yourself today? Not yesterday, not in the future, but you wake up, what do you say to yourself today?
Definitely breathe. Because I think for lately, with things, I'm so blessed to be able to do the things that I'm doing, and that people want to work with me, and that people want to have me on their podcasts, or like people want me to be in their show. But it does get overwhelming, and like I've sort of been trying to deal with the anxiety that arises with, I'm never going to get done, and I'm never going to be able to complete all these things, and I'm going to disappoint everyone, and like it piles and piles and piles. And so if I could just like look at it and be like, girl, you're fine, like it ain't that serious, I think it's just to remember to just breathe, because like it does, it becomes a physical sensation where it's like it's tight in your chest, it feels like it's sitting on you, and it's just like these things that you're like, yeah, you'll get to it. Like, and so I will.
Deadlines will always be there.
Like, people are more understanding than you ever think they would be, and they get it. Mm-hmm. And especially now with like the how fast the world moves. I know that like that's such a cliche thing to say, but really, like we are moving faster and faster, and we expect things at the instant that we want it.
Yeah.
Like instant gratification is so real. And so, like, just being able to breathe and remembering that, like, you are going to be okay. You just have to not list everything and, like, take everything one step at a time. Just, like, if I can remind myself that constantly.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I'm going to get back to my desk and have, like, 1,000 maps due and, like, and, like not remember that, but...
Mm-hmm. That's why we appreciate you taking this out.
No, listen, this is amazing.
Point, you know, to that point, I think sometimes the biggest thing that we don't take into consideration is people's personal time. Like if you run late or if you are coming to sit on someone's podcast. No, but I'm saying that was an hour of your busy day that you have chose to do this with, you know, and it is...
I mean, but I get to, like, enjoy time with friends. Like, this is something that I think I would love more of in my life, and I think that I should make more time for. And like, if I allow my, like, if you can allow yourself the luxury to just be kind to yourself and be like, you need this, yeah. like. For your soul.
Take a 7-day Disney vacation.
Oh my gosh, you have no idea how much, because we are talking about going to Star Wars Celebration, which is the largest Star Wars con. And we went to Chicago last year, and then this year it's in Anaheim. And the temptation to, like, you know, go, well, we would go to con for like a couple of days, like 2 days, I think we decided, and then it would be Disney for 3, fully experience Galaxy's Edge, live that life.
Rise of the Resistance is the most incredible ride experience of your life.
The ride-through videos that I've watched...
Don't cheat!
Just like, I've watched... It's okay. There's Jenny Nicholson is like... I don't know if this is a YouTube category, but she's a theme park enthusiast, and she, like, reviews stuff. So she did, like, a very abbreviated, like, whoa, 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 and just, like showing some stuff.
Yeah.
And it wasn't chronological. It was just, like, her reacting to basically the walkthrough.
It is 4 rides in one.
It's just, it's trackless. Like, you, it's just the animatronics are incredible. You are physically in the movie.
The real people.
Yeah.
The real actors.
The real people.
Are just there.
And the holograms, right?
And the holograms that pop up.
Imagine, I felt so bad for being there because people like you who... Like me. Like, well, just like, I have so many people like that in my life that are like Star Wars people. And I'm like, all of this is lost on me. I'm going to go back over to Toy Story Land.
Which is, you're completely, I mean, like, being thrown into the Toy Story, just the magic of Disney. I know, yeah. I'm such a Disney show. I'm also like, but like, you know, they are like kind of a terrible tentacle monster, but like, no. Like,
I can't wait to go to Shanghai Disney.
Well, yes, oh my god. Shanghai Disney, wait.
It's closed right now, though.
Yeah. Wait, Shanghai, wait, or is it Tokyo Disney Sea that has, Tokyo Disney Sea, I just answered my own question, where they have Ariel's, like, full palace and, like, the stage show and, like, I really want to go, like, so bad. And it's just, like, that magic of childhood is just, like, it fuels.
In Disneyland, in California Adventure, they have Adventures World or whatever that they're building, and they have now the human robots that fly around. So do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh my gosh, like, they're, because they're getting ready. Why are we just plugging Disney? But, like, they are getting ready to build Avengers, Avengers Campus, and, and, like, the, just the pre-production of this and showing, like, these animatronic robot things that are going to look like Spider-Man and fly over your head.
Fly over your head.
They're going to do flips. It's going to look like you're in the movie. I don't understand. Yeah. Like, I'm like, we're in space. Like, this is the future liberals want. Like,
the future is now.
Oh, but like, you know, I would have loved a flying car. I would also like food in pill form, but like, you know, if I get animatronic Tom Holland over my head, like...
It's fine. Yeah.
There it is.
He's of age. He's of age.
I know. That I'm just saying, the give Disney all the money you can, because I feel, and that's what I talked about Courtney about it the first time we went. I go, listen, it is not inexpensive to go to Disney.
Oh no,
it is very. Yeah. Talk about something that maybe only rich people get to do.
I know.
You know how about
Disney?
That? Disney.
Gosh, Disney.
You see where every dollar goes.
Yeah.
Because they are pushing the limits, they are improving things. Mm-hmm. So at some point you're like,
yeah, I get it.
That probably did cost that. I should probably pay for that.
Yeah, I should probably do that and also support all of the wonderful performers that are like
everyone
are employed in Disney and like get to be princesses every day. Like
every day.
Oh god, if I wasn't doing this, I would just want to be Moana in Disney.
So good.
I would. I mean, like, I've done Moana Disney, or I've done Moana birthday parties, and it is like literally my favorite thing, because it's just kind of like you are that character for those kids, and it's insane because it's like.
Can you imagine like being that?
Oh my god! At Disney, like it's just you're on the float. You're like singing all the songs.
Yep.
You get like
you get a wave.
You get everything. You get to do the princess wave, and like you get to just like be a princess. I don't know. I like it's not everyone's cup of tea. Like
But if it is your tea, drink it.
Oh my god, just chug it. Like I just want just fill my body. Like I'm just like all hot and bothered about like thinking about being Moana for Disney.
I want you to be Moana.
Oh my gosh, I do have to remake. My Moana, so like I will just like put all those dreams into that new Moana that I make, because it's like her, she's one of my most popular cosplays, and like she is going on like 2.5-3 years of like pretty heavy wear, like, and so I should probably remake her.
But luckily she's from the village of Matsu.
Yeah, well, no, like for a while I was like, oh great, it like looks more like broken in and, like, I wear it all the time, but now, like, the tassels are falling off and I haven't washed that top. I'm gross. And so it's like...
maybe it's after she puts the heart of the...
Yeah, maybe she's like, it's like, I'm battle damaged Moana.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that. So, like...
Warrior Moana.
Okay. Yeah, warrior. Yes, all of that. All of that stuff.
Last two questions.
Yes.
Is there anything you have not had the opportunity to say, words of advice, call to actions that you would like to say or advertise, just sort of anything as we wrap up?
I think that going forward, it is so important that we realize the power that we have as individuals and the power that we have as a community. Because, like, sometimes it's easy to get lost and I'm only one person and get bogged down and, like, what impact can I make with just being me? But you can make so much, like, with a collective, finding a community, building community, going out there and, like, changing the world and, like, creating the world that you want to see. Like, that's, it's a struggle and it's, like, a lofty, like, sometimes unreachable goal, but it's still a goal. And, like, there are more people out there that believe in that than you can possibly imagine. Also, shameless plug, if you ever want to see me in drag, I know, there's no segue to this, but if you ever want to see me, I am a permanent Dining with the Divas host at Hamburger Mary's. I'm every second Saturday of the month, and also this month I'm on third Saturday, which is... February 15th. Mm-hmm. And then also, I am also on Bingos now at Hamburger Mary's. So that's exciting. It's Saturdays at 4. So if you ever just want, like, to dip your toe into the drag experience.
You were not the one this past Saturday.
I was not. No, but I'm on third and fourth Saturdays.
Right.
Yeah, so.
My mom was there just randomly, and I was like, hi, Pammy.
You're like, Pam, what are you doing here?
I know, hi.
You're like, hello. So, like, and then I'm also regularly at Missy B's. I should be better about putting out my schedule, but please follow me at Miss Luna Flair across all social media, and you can find out where I'll be at. And I'm like, what's a hopeful note that I can end on? But it's just like, yeah, come support me and support local drag, and also support yourself. Love yourself.
I love that. Love yourself, bitches.
Love yourself, bitches.
And who would you like to hear from on the couch? Who should we have on to sit and hear for an hour their life story?
Has Kristen Altara been on?
She has.
Okay.
Yeah, part she was two. Great.
I was like, obviously, I need to listen to more episodes, but I'm trying to think.
Hey, listen, at, like, week 80, we've had some fabulous people.
Yeah,
we have.
Yeah, you're on episode what? 80?
I think 81? Yeah. Maybe 84.
It's weird because there's some, like, weird holidays.
You're like, this is a holiday.
Count that week? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would love if you had, I'm trying to think of drag race. Genoa Stanwyck would be really fun to talk to. Mm-hmm. Widow, if she can fit into her schedule, would be fantastic.
We have submitted the request to do that.
Oh my god, there's so many. Oh my god, Loretta Martin, just to hear her talk.
I do need Miss Loretta on.
I would, oh my gosh, just like all the girls. Candice Marie would be fantastic to talk to. She would just be like, bonjour, for like an hour.
Starbucks, like, white, you know.
Oh my god, her pumpkin, for her pumpkin spice realness. There are also some cosplayers that you should talk to.
I would love to.
Pros and Cons cosplay is incredible. They are also part of the documentary, What We Can Be, that I was talking about.
Maybe I could have that documentarius.
Oh yes, documentarius! Nick Young, I will give you all his confidential information. He's fascinating, and the sort of work that he's doing... And, like, the time we put into this, because this has been, like, almost 3 years in the making.
Wow.
Yeah, because we filmed, like, some of my sections we filmed in 2017, some of them we filmed in 2018. And that's what's been so cool to sort of see, like, even 3 years ago, what cosplay looked like in the Kansas City area and what it's become. You see it kind of in the film, and, like, sort of, which is crazy. And then just to see also... selfishly, how I've changed.
That's right, how you...
Because there are scenes where I'm fully doing my makeup, and I'm like, I don't use any of those products or do that makeup technique anymore. Mm-hmm. And so it's really crazy just to, like...
They almost need an addendum at the end.
Like, be like, Luna Flair does not endorse these makeup, like, these makeup things anymore. It's not necessarily true, it's just, like, there was a scene where I was putting a cream product over powder, and I was like, any drag queen will be like, what the hell are you doing? And
as
be mad
as there's no Chick-fil-A cup in the middle of it.
Could you imagine, like, it's my full makeup setup, and then they just pan over, and there's a Chick-fil-A...
And a
pro-Trump sign. And a Hobby Lobby bag.
And you're just like, hi, choose me.
Hi, hello, yes, root for me in this documentary. No, but, like... I will, like, fully on air, I will admit, sometimes you do end up going to Hobby Lobby because they're awfully gaudy for, like, people who don't like drag queens. They're like, oh, but look at all these baubles. But I will say, I always use competitors' coupons, and also, someone told me this once, that the $2 or $3 that you spend there, and if you put it into, like, a subversive drag outfit, you're gonna recoup that money and more. I don't know, it's, like, the way I justify it to myself.
Every time I get anti-gay money, I donate the other portions of it, you know, to something.
Yeah, absolutely. In our business, you have to go to Hobby Lobby, and I hate it, but I just take whatever I spent there, and I give it to HRC, or whatever.
Thank you.
I know.
A Hobby Lobby subsidiary, one that has the same quality of stuff.
Yep.
Create that. There is a whole world out there for you.
Yeah.
I just can't.
Do it.
I'm not the one to.
I can't do it. Like, if I had any sort of business acumen, I would have probably done it a long time ago.
Yeah.
But, like, someone out there that understands, like, budgets and stuff, do that. Because, like, especially with, there's, like, a whole community that, like, would love it. Like, having a, that was why I was so sad about Hancock Fabric, like, closing. Because it was, like, a competitive fabric place that you could get more stuff. Now we really only have, like, Joann's, and you can get fabric at Hobby Lobby if you really need to. But, like, I try not to go there as much as I can, but
sometimes Christmas is just too good there.
I know. Well, like if you can find you know, a bin of, like, you know, ornaments that you need to glue to your body for a number, you're gonna. It's not a catch-22. Is that a catch-22?
No.
Maybe.
No.
Michael's just isn't the same.
Michael's
it's
isn't
just
the same.
Not the same.
There was that rumor that they were gonna, like, they had purchased all of the branding rights to Hancock Fabric and were like, oh my god, was Michael's gonna carry fabric?
Mm.
And that can neither be substantiated nor denied, but, like, I was like, oh my god, another fabric competitor? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do it. But it never materialized.
Yeah.
Materialized!
I'm so funny.
You're funny.
Funny. Anyway.
Thank you so much, Julie, for being on our show.
Thank you, Courtney and Corey, for having me on Couch Chats.
Tomorrow, be safe. When airs, it'll be the day before, but I hope everyone had a very safe and
amazing.
Super Bowl parade.
Yes.
Check out Luna Flair and all of the amazing things that both Luna is doing and so is Julian. They are both working their booties off out there being themselves. Next week, we will have our friend Gabriel on.
now that's a couch chat.
I met him during Victor Victoria, so I'm really excited to get to know that. That is as long as I'm not stuck in some sort of jury duty. I have jury duty.
You have jury duty?
Right.
So,
interesting.
As well as I'm a presenter at Starlight for their Blue Stars gala.
Blue Star!
Right.
I want a Blue Star. But, like, that can be for part two.
I can't wait to have you on for part two. So anyway, next week's going to be great.
Amazing.
Hopefully everyone stays safe and healthy out there.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, we'll see you next week. All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you so much.
And that was this week's episode of Couch Chats. Thanks so much for listening. Couch Chats is available locally on KOJH 104.7 and also on iTunes. Remember, that's Couch with a K. The thoughts and opinions expressed in this episode are solely those of Couch Chats, not the Arts Asylum, KOJH, or Mutual Musicians Foundation. Thanks again for listening, and please remember to rate, review, and subscribe, as well as follow us on Instagram. Tune in next week to see who we have on the couch.